141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a frustrating night for Scotland. Euro qualification will have to wait after Steve Clarke's side lost 2-0 in Spain. It wasn't without controversy though, with a Scott McTominay wonder goal ruled out for offside, or was it a foul or something else entirely? And Sunday is the next day to look out for. If Norway fail to beat Spain, it will officially be Germany here we come. But we wait for now in the company of Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
20 hours later, there's still a deeply ingrained sense of injustice over that Scott McTominay disallowed goal, particularly when UEFA's own official website gives it one explanation and then 10 minutes later changes its mind and gives a second explanation. However, the irony is the team who were our opponents last night will now get our unqualified support in Oslo on Sunday, because a draw sends us to the finals in Germany next year. And that's what will happen. Spain will not lose against Norway, even in Oslo, and even against Erling Haaland.
Why have you done that? It's fine to do it to like one fan base.
Absolutely loves it.
He can't do it to the entire nation. That means everybody's going to be up in arms. He's right, though. It's gone from "I can't stand Spain" to "Vamos España" in the space of a couple of hours.
Yeah, what is it? We've got the Spaniards. We'll be shouting on the Spaniards on Sunday night. It's I think last night was a solid enough performance for the team. Hugh's right. I think there's a lot of confusion surrounding the goal, albeit it probably was maybe the right. I think there was a bit of offside. I think there was a bit of impeding the goalkeeper. But for me, it's immaterial. It's been when, not if, for me, since probably June. Since Scotland got those two late goals in Norway, I just had a sense it was going to be a straightforward campaign. There's a lot of belief and support around about this group and Steve Clarke and his staff. So it's like you say, it might be Sunday. If it's not, then it'll be coming soon.
They will now throw a Spaniard in the works on Sunday.
Come on then, 01419511025. It wasn't to be on the night. How do you look back on that Scott McTominay goal, or not to be goal in the end? Was it offside? Yes is the official answer. Everyone thought it was a foul. What do you make of the decision all round? The way it was communicated, the way it played out, the explanations on offer. Are you buying any of that? Do you still feel a sense of injustice, as Hugh Keevans says? I think I'm pretty certain between now and 8 o'clock we'll have suggestions that even apart from that, it was a fairly questionable refereeing performance. But we'll maybe get to that as the night goes on. And what about our performance overall? Clearly not really enough to win the game. Spain looked like they were going to score early on and had the lion's share of possession and so on. So what did you make of the performance? Does it roll on to Sunday? Will it be done on Sunday? That Scott McTominay moment, anything else entirely? If you do want to switch focus, I suspect it will be a bit quiet on the club front. But Rangers fans, I don't know, did you expect to get to this point in the week and still not have a manager? Or are you feeling pretty relaxed about it, that will kick in over the weekend? The under-21s are in action tonight, actually, at Fir Park. They're taking on Hungary. So any of that, if it tickles your fancy, please pick up the phone on 01419511025. Good to have lots of you on the live stream, as always. For the benefit of those who are not on the live stream, Hugh, how does it feel for the first time in your 82-year history on this show to be the most casual man of the punditry team? This man's got a three-piece suit on next to you.
The first thing I said to him when he walked into the building, "You're putting me to shame, Kenny."
Never thought I'd see the day.
So there he is. You always hesitate in case he's been at your funeral. But,
that's Navy, that's all right.
Or maybe an appearance in court. You never know. But I did say right away, what a style guru.
Big plans, are we keeping you?
Alan McGregor's testimonial dinner tonight, so you know what, I'm actually putting it off the start. I couldn't let our audience down, Kilby, so we're going to head straight along to the Hilton after this.
The nation thanks you. Will that be a quiet, civilised affair?
Well, it will be for me. I'm not sure it'll be for Alan, but it'll definitely be for me.
Well, you can tell us next week how that one pans out. Anyway, 01419511025. How do you look back on last night? That's a fairly open-ended question, because you've got the result, the performance, the ramifications, permutations about qualification, and of course a certain incident involving Scott McTominay and the referee and the VAR and the UEFA comms team and everything that went on in between. It's interesting, Hugh, because our currency on this show is one set of fans feeling aggrieved and the other set of fans telling them to get on with it.
Yeah.
This was a nation united in at best frustration and at worst something a lot angrier.
Do you know what though? It says so much for Stevie Clark and the job that he's done that we're upset over not getting a result in Spain. Because we went there with the intention of winning that match and we were 17 minutes away from almost doing that. So it's a mark of the man, it's a mark of the maturity that this team now possesses. And we thoroughly deserve to go to Germany next summer, and that's what will happen.
We said it last night on the show, we were on for the extended show, and it felt almost surreal to be able to do it so early in the group. Like, it shouldn't really be seen as a sense of disappointment. Are you with Kenny? You know, you have to just take that in the chin. Qualification will be confirmed soon.
Such is the way of football now that VAR has got involved and taken over the game, basically. But it's wonderful to think that 72 hours after you hit the depth of disappointment, that you could then go and get a sky-high boost from Spain in Oslo. So there'll be some television audience for that game.
Listen, I just think the performance last night was always going to be that way. We knew Spain were going to have the ball, we had to defend. I mean, I think Steve Clark will be really disappointed in the goal we lost, actually, because Morata, who, again, wasn't really on the top of his game last night. We've got three centre backs there to deal with across, you know, and he's just got the run on all three of them, to be honest with you. So it was a disappointing goal to lose. But like you say, the decision, again, you can moan about this. I've just seen what Steve Clark's saying after it. You know, I think he's got the luxury where he can actually be pretty calm and just say, you know what, we'll move on, we'll deal with it, we'll look forward to the game on Sunday. And if it's going to be then, it's going to be then. See, if it's not, then we'll just have to beat Georgia and Norway. You know, it's as simple as that. And the team will do it. I mean, the team are in a really good place, and I think that's why the nation feels pretty calm about last night as well. As much as you might get a lot of disappointment from that decision, listen, qualification's coming.
I usually would open with a call, but I think a tweet sums this up before we go any further. Sean Brogan has sent me in just a picture. Doesn't say, there's no caption. It is a picture of his TV last night. Spain, Scotland, 67 minutes on the clock, and he smashed his telly. So there we go. If you want to give us the radio equivalent of that, we're here for you. 01419511025. Brian is first up. Brian, how's it going?
I'm fine. Just to say hello to Hugh and Kenny.
Hi there.
Hi, Brian.
It's just about the Scotland game. I have never seen so many inconsistencies in a one-sided referee in my entire life. The Scotland players were getting fouled. The referee, he had nothing to do with it. And yet, VAR could have actually said to the referee, hold on a minute, have a look at this. Because there was one or two dubious ones that should have been yellow cards. And for the Scotland goal, I've got Sky and I've got a rewind. I rewound that about four times and I couldn't see anything wrong with that goal whatsoever. It was like 1 minute, it's offside. Then it became a foul. I'm like, VAR is supposed to be here to help the referee get the decision right on the pitch. Last night, VAR was just, they weren't even there. They were there for the goal for Scotland, and that was the only time you actually heard from them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, let's start with the big one, because there were a few, I think, as Brian mentioned, and it's about the way it played out, isn't it, more than anything. If you are, from the outset, saying that is offside, the lines have been drawn. Hawkeye Technology, if it's that provider, is telling you that player's in an offside position. Referee, we recommend you come over to the monitor to assess whether or not he's interfering with the goalkeeper. Because there's still a lot of confusion. I'm still getting tweets today saying it can't be offside because the referee doesn't go to the monitor if it's offside. 90% of the time he doesn't, because it should be factual, onside, offside. But when there is a subjective element, i.e. is that player interfering with the goalkeeper, he would be invited over to the monitor. So nothing wrong with that. But as Brian says, for it to be announced that it is a foul, for it to flash up on the screen, for it to take, I don't know, what was it, 10 or 15 minutes for it then to be changed to offside, added to that, the fact that the referee does not signal for offside when he comes onto the pitch.
Yeah.
He does signal for a foul. add that all into the mix, that's the bit that's tough to, not tough to take, but tough to understand.
Well, we are a country who thrive on suspicion. And, you know, Brian on the line has called it correctly by saying that the referee's performance was substandard to begin with. And this suspicion over two explanations for one disallowed goal. It's simply not good enough. But Brian, as you know, I'm afraid that bad refereeing is worldwide, and we have calls and complaints about refereeing standards every night of every week of every month.
But this is the thing, because Hugh's not wrong to broadbrush. He's saying we as a nation, we know we're cynical or we don't like refereeing injustice. I like to think I always on this show try and understand it, try and understand the process. So this is not about, you know, just spitting the dummy because it's Scotland. Procedurally, if that's even a word, that was a shambles last night.
It was a shambles. Again, offside's offside, you know. So if he's offside, he's offside. That's fine. If he's fouled him, because there's no doubt Jack Henry is impeding the goalkeeper. He is impeding the goalkeeper.
Well, interfering with the goalkeeper. Yeah, so it's not a foul, though, is it?
He gives him a little nudge. You could see
at
that.
Best.
But the biggest signal for it for me is, had he been really stopping the goalkeeper to come out and get that free kick, the goalkeeper, firstly, would have been clambering over Jack Henry. And then secondly, when the ball hit the back of the net, he would have been remonstrating for fun with the officials. He had accepted it because he wasn't clambering over Jack Henry to get the ball. He wasn't coming to take it. That free kick was going to fly in the top corner whether Jack Henry was there or not. Was it enough for a foul? That's the thing, because if he's offside, like I think he was probably borderline offside, but then they've got to think, was he interfering with play? Well, that means he was interfering with the goalkeeper. You know, the goalkeeper never thought he was interfering because he's not complaining
and
about
that
it.
We probably do have to boil it down to that, Hugh, in terms of when we're analysing the incident. We're not analysing whether it was a foul or not anymore, we don't think, because the official line is it was offside. So the only debate, if you can even call it that, is was he interfering with the goalkeeper? Do you think he was, if that was the case?
No.
You don't even? No.
I don't think he prevented the goalkeeper from making a full attempt at stopping McTominay's free kick. The goalkeeper was just bamboozled by the free kick. I'm glad that this can all be resolved on Sunday and we can qualify by proxy on Sunday, because this one could run and run and run for a long time.
Brian, would it, and this is very topical anyway, because we do it, you know, in our domestic game and England are having their issues with it. How important do you think it is that people get to hear or see what was said between the refereeing team last night?
I just think, to be honest with you, I just think common sense has been right out the window here. Because, like I say, all you'd have to do is for the VAR, they're just ridiculous. Seriously ridiculous. I think these guys are sleeping half the games.
You know, with the recent example, Brian, you remember that the game between Spurs and Liverpool.
And they're saying that it needs to be replayed. But this is the thing, though. If that's going to be the case, like the Spurs and Liverpool game to be replayed for that, how many other games
that's why that's a ridiculous suggestion. That's not going to happen.
That won't happen, because you then open an enormous can of worms. But the point I'm making about that game, you know, they couldn't get it right. And if you play the audio every time something like this happens, we're going to expose the game. And, you know, Brian's correct. If we'd heard the audio from last night, I would love to hear it, because if you get the referee giving two different explanations, what was going on between him and the people who are watching?
Is that not even more important then as to why we should hear it? Because there is an important distinction here. This is not the same as, oh, my team got a penalty against him and I didn't like it, so I want to hear that. This is not about the referee subjectively calling something that we disagree with, because that is going to happen. You could have a million cameras and you'll never take that subjectivity out of it. This is about the process, Kenny. How did it get announced as offside? As a foul. And then changed. And why did the referee signal for a foul? You know, this is like a bit like the Liverpool Spurs one. This is about process. This is about transparency of process.
So, but I think he's offside, and he's interfering with Simon.
That's
right?
Now the official line.
So that means it is a foul. Is that fair?
No.
So he's still, it's just offside.
He's just offside.
But if he had been offside and no interfering with Simon, that would have counted.
Yes.
So I think, you know what? They had a nightmare. Right, that's it. The referees had a nightmare. The whole thing was, like you've said, is a shambles. They've signalled for the wrong thing. They've not gave a goal that looked like a perfectly good goal. By the way, a perfectly good goal probably in the goalkeeper's eyes as well, because he was not kind of remonstrating with the officials. He was, again, I've seen goalkeepers run into halfway lines because there's been things gave against them.
And by the way, normally they're chancing it. Is usually if there's a player anywhere near in front of the line of sight, they're
exactly,
giving
it, and he never done it. So it's you know what? See whether we hear the audio or not. It's not going to change anything. Is it going to help us understand that maybe they got a little bit confused the way the Liverpool Tottenham thing did play out? Absolutely, but you know what? We're lucky at this moment. It's not going to cost us.
Yeah,
that's it.
The reason I think this is different, Hugh, because obviously Scotland fans are going to be up in arms about this. But take a look around. There are a lot of observers from all across European football sort of saying, what has gone on there last night? And all it would take, play that tape. See if right at the start it's right, okay, it's offside, you're coming over to check if he's interfering with the goalkeeper, and then maybe you can say, right, well, human error, he has signalled for a foul rather than offside. But to me, and fair enough, hands up, never been in that high pressure situation, if he's gone over and the talk is sort of right, offside, let's have a look, is he interfering? You're thinking offside. How do you come back on and make the wrong hand gesture? That does seem surprising to me.
We actually had commentators on one of the other channels actually saying it was a goal. He's actually signalled for a goal, and the goal was going to stand. Yeah, like it was carnage.
We do, to go back to the can of worms, we do run the risk, if audio is played as it was after the Tottenham-Liverpool game, the audio exposed those in charge as being incompetent.
That's okay, it's transparency.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
But we're going to, nothing at all, we're going to arrive at a situation where it will become absolutely true that the game is run by incompetence.
And whatever happened to the good old days where the referee would just make the decision, we would never know if it was right or wrong, you know, so we wouldn't have had all this chat about replays and what's going to happen. I mean, like, the goal just would have been offside. You know, that would have been it.
Replay stuff is nonsense.
Yeah.
And I don't think for a second you should be forced or calling for audio of every sort of decision that you don't agree with. This is not just about a decision that you disagree with. It's just trying to understand how it was arrived at.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
And we don't understand.
Anyway. Thank you to Brian. We'll speak to Tony up next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are setting the world to rights after last night's game in Seville. Let's bring in Tony, who's in Bolton. How's it going, Tony?
Good evening, panel. I'm very good, thanks. How's all yourselves?
Good. No complaints. A few minor ones after last night. What are you thinking?
My voice is only coming back now. I was driving home from London to Bolton last night when McTominay scored, and I nearly punched the windscreen and smashed.
Nah, don't do that, Tony. That sounds reckless.
Aye, and then after all that, carry on. But I can't understand it. I'm scunnered with it, if you know what I mean. I don't. It's absolutely ridiculous. And to give one reason, then change it 20 minutes later, I honestly don't know.
Hugh, want to be quite consistent on this. I don't think we, because it's Scotland, you know, should just spit the dummy and make it all reactive. People have been saying this for a while though, and maybe when it is the national team, and you know, you've not got that kind of club bias or allegiance, maybe it does make one or two more people sit up and feel like Tony and just think, like, just generally, is it, even if it was the right decision, are we now are we looking for reasons to you know, disallow goals? Is it sucking that emotion out of it? People have been saying this stuff for years. This is not just about Scotland goal last night. It raises its head again.
I mean, purely personal opinion, I don't think VAR has been good for the game. And, you know, I know that we will have people here who work very hard at the SFA, and they are trying their best. I think it is putting people off the game.
Got to agree. I mean, you know what, my thoughts were on it pretty much straight away. Like I said, I don't mind. See, when pre-VAR came in, and referees make mistakes, and like you could half accept it. Yeah, you'll moan and you'll get on the shows and you'll moan about it, particularly if it costs your team. But at this moment in time, VAR, even offside, which is black and white, is It's been messed up. It's been messed up. And even last night, whether it's, like you say, whether it's the right call or not the right call, it's still been messed up a little bit. You know, was he offside? Was he impeding the goalkeeper? Did he foul the goalkeeper? Like, we don't know. We've had every explanation. We've not really had any real clarity on what happened. And like you say, it had the audio got released. Maybe we would have that. Is it going to help? Probably not. But I just think VAR is... they're still getting things wrong. You know, the sending off scenario, it doesn't really, it's still somebody's opinion. It's still, yeah, the referee can go to the monitor and he can have a second look at it or third look at it, whatever it is. We're still getting things wrong. And when that offside thing happened last week for me, and by the way, I don't buy that that's not going to happen again. That could happen again. With a miscommunication, where something happened that you maybe just can't hear the wording that's coming through on the earpiece. That could happen again. So, listen, I'm with you. I don't know if it's helped at all.
Every Saturday or Sunday on Super Scoreboard, and you say there's been a goal at Tynecastle or Easter Road or wherever, I always think the same thing. I wonder if it will stand. And now we've got our own little jingle for
VAR check.
And how many times, you know, I just think that it's not necessarily a generational thing in this case. I just think that people in general are put off by it.
Do you think psychologically, Kenny, it's a whole new challenge for players? It's maybe something I hadn't really considered on, you know, until recently, that, you know, what was that old cliche about, you know, you're at your most vulnerable when you score. People used to say that, like, you know, the high of the celebration, I don't know, you take your eye off the ball, you concede. The roller coaster, the more severe roller coaster of emotions that goes along with something like last night and many other incidents like it, I think that's tough for a player. Do you think that has an impact?
Well, listen, Scott McTominay thought he had scored another goal for his country, and you
not
could
just,
see.
Not just any.
Yeah, it was a wonder goal. You know, and you could see how angry and frustrated he was when the goal was chopped off. So, listen, I don't think it's going to... I mean, VAR's been in long enough now that, you know, listen, it's going to get checked. You know, if there's offsides there, there could be a potential foul in the build, or a handball in the build-up. You know, it's going to get checked. But like Hugh says, it does take that little bit of emotion. I mean, the adrenaline rush when you score a goal was like no other feeling.
The
And now it just gets taken away a little bit.
The enormity of that strike... had it been allowed to stand.
Talking like a generational goal, possibly,
yeah,
aren't
we? Yeah, without question. Because I don't think that Spain would have come back. I think they would have been totally shell-shocked and we would have taken care of things at the back. Therefore, we would have made it to the finals of a European Championship by beating Spain in Spain.
Or even getting the draw that would have done it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it adds to the frustration, as I say, the enormity of the goal. Had it been allowed to stand, would have lived with Scott McTominay for the rest of his life.
You're in statue territory, I think, if that stands last night. Tony, but look, it's not critical in the sense that, you know, this wasn't a do or die last game of the campaign, plenty of time for it to fix itself. Are you taking any hope or confidence from that?
No, I'm still confident. I'm sure we'll qualify on Sunday. So it's no big deal, but it's just the injustice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Even that word, though, Hugh, I'm out. Look, people, the live streams is a bad idea for me on Scotland games. I was all over the shop last night with the roller coaster of emotion. So I am willing to I'm willing to not go as far as injustice. See, if you're telling it's offside and he's interfering with the keeper, I can swallow that. There is no requirement to be biased in that regard. But clearly, in this instance, because of the way it's played out, it's the communication element of it.
Yeah, also, I remember 20 years ago, Old Firm Cup final, and Celtic had...
See, if you're about to start an argument about a decision from 20 years ago.
But Martin, I remember Martin O'Neill saying to the linesman, you've got to get the big calls right. You've got to get the big calls right. And we had a referee in Seville last night who was on the night, I don't know how he does... in the Eredivisie, but on the night was well below standard and didn't get the big calls right.
Yeah, Kenny, I don't think it's controversial. I don't think it's biased. I don't think it's any of that stuff. I thought he was absolutely woeful last night. Like, genuinely, just as a spectator, if that had been two sort of neutral teams in the Champions League or whatever, I thought he was horrific.
I think he just went for one to the next, and as each one passed, it was like it was playing on his mind that he maybe got the last one wrong, and it was just, like you say, it was a substandard, I think, is kind.
Because, honestly, genuinely, right, take the goal out of it. It's got the headlines, and deservedly so. the non-award of a free kick to John McGinn on the edge of the box,
yep,
when he nearly ruptures his spleen. And now I'm being biased.
Yeah, definitely.
The booking Nathan Patterson got
was absolutely embarrassing. Yep.
I mean,
by the way, he barely touches his jersey, and because the lad was so small, and he's went over. I mean, that was a disgrace.
I honestly wonder if the referee, we're all human beings, to one degree or another, but the referee seemed to me to be overawed.
It looked too big for him. It looked like he was in, and I think once he got something wrong, it just compounded, you know, and it went from one thing to the next.
Do you not think it's maybe an indictment of the way Scottish people look? Have you not seen this this article, this headline? He once got accused, I think it was in the Netherlands or something, he got accused of hating fat, bald people, this referee. So I don't know if that says anything about us as a nation, but there we go. Let's hear from Steve Clark on it. He says there is many positives to take, doesn't want to dwell on that controversially disallowed goal.
Team played very well. Obviously disappointing to lose, always disappointing to lose. We came here determined to qualify. It hasn't happened tonight. But I think there was a lot to be pleased with in the performance. The big moment in the game is probably the close decision on the Scott McTominay goal. And it changes the mood a little bit, you know. So we can be pleased with how we performed. The lads are really disappointed that we've lost the game because we didn't come here to lose. They've made the call, so there's no point going on and on about it. If you look at what they've called it, I think there was a little bit of confusion at the time whether it was offside or whether it was for a foul on the goalkeeper. But I tell you now, there's no way in the world the goalkeeper was saving that, no matter where Jack Henry was.
And there we are, Hugh. He is calm as always. Yeah. Maybe that's why he's so good at getting us to these scenarios. But his employers don't seem quite as understanding. It looks like the Scottish FA will write. As is sometimes the way it looks, seeking clarification.
Yeah. But I'm glad he didn't whinge too much about it. I'm glad he said, no point in going on about it. It's done. Need to move on.
Yeah, but because we've got a show to fill, Steve.
Yeah, I understand.
But he's got the luxury of understanding that. Listen, had qualification been on that, then
can
guaranteed there's going to be so much.
Look at Tony Allen Hutton.
Yep.
I mean, how did you feel about that? Genuinely, because I'm sure across your career, like, you get decisions that go against you, and you've got no choice to accept it. See, when it's that bad as it was that day at Hampden,
I mean, that was incredible. For us going into that game, I think had we got a draw, it might have made it go on to the next game, if I remember rightly. But we still probably needed to win.
Yeah,
you know. But when that happened, I mean, that was a foul our way, you know. And they get the foul, and not only that, they actually then go and score for it. You know, so you're having to deal with these kind of things. But listen, we're in a position, like you say, Steve Clark, he's calm. You know, he's got 15 points out of 15 before last night. Scotland are still sitting in a wonderful position. We are going to qualify. We'll be going to Germany next year. It's just a case of when it's going to be confirmed, whether it be Sunday or whether it be us. So
let's bring in Gary. Gary, what's your thoughts on last night?
Good evening, Gordon. Evening, Kenny and Shug. I think more than anything else, now, let's be honest, that goal at the other end, if that's being checked, doesn't get chopped off. I don't care what anybody says. That was a home decision last night. But not only did it kind of nullify the good goal that we scored, it also kind of gave Spain a wee bit of a jolt and a sense that they'd get away with one there. We better get our fingers out. Because for the next kind of 10 minutes, they upped the tempo, the fans got behind them a bit more of a cauldron. So it wasn't just a disallowing to see the goal. It was things that kind of, the game changed right on that kind of decision. Now, one thing I would say is that, considering how maybe 10, 15 years ago, a rampant Spain team like that would have took maybe 5 or 6 of Scotland in a night like last night, because they did kind of pepper the goals with efforts, and we were lucky to get away with a few of it. The Scotland team nowadays has got that much resilience, and they've got such a structure that it never felt last night, even to the first minute when they should have scored through the Ferran Torres, it never felt as though it was going to be a 4-5-6-0 shot. And I think, again, that speaks volumes of where the team's at and the kind of progress we've made.
Gary, you know, I'm glad that we don't go on about this for too much longer, because it at the same time takes away from the work that Steve Clark's done. As you rightly point out, pivotal moment in the game, because it sparked Spain into life, whereas we had gone there with a maturity and an approach that was unlike the past that you speak about. So Stevie Clark's done too much to be down as a whinger about bad referees, because bad referees will always be with us.
Yeah, because what last night did, Kenny, is it obviously didn't get the point required for qualification. It also pretty much, well, it did, it wiped out the head-to-head advantage over Spain. If we just lost 1-0, yep, we've still got the superior head-to-head. So it's now level, 2-0 and 2-0, and their goal difference is vastly superior, yep, to ours. So actually, in a round, although we are hoping that Norway drop points, probably a draw is actually the best, yep, result in Norway on Sunday. And as Gary says, I hope no one's pretending Scotland did enough to win that game, or, you know, definitely deserved to win it. But there were elements of it to suggest two possibly was a bit harsh in the nature of the second goal. How harsh is that on two players that were particularly good in Hickey and Portis?
Yeah, listen, Hickey's been outstanding over the course of the campaign. Listen, it's just a slip. That's it. It happens. Unfortunate for him last night.
I mean, it cost us a goal. It couldn't have been worse in terms of how it presented itself.
Listen, and it looks awful as well when you look it back. But by the way, see, for Porteous, he's got to go in there and try and get onto something. Yeah. And it's just on the follow through, he carries the ball into the net. But it was harsh on us, because you're right. I don't think we've done anywhere near enough to win the game. But there's different types of games, mm-hmm, and I felt we were actually quite happy defending. We were quite happy staying in our shape and being resilient and frustrating Spain. This Spain team are not like the Spain team years gone past.
How many crosses did they put in? We kept saying this last night, and they do eventually score from one, so fair play to them.
Well, I think one of the main things was Navas coming on as well, because he goes more direct and he goes quicker, you know, and it was a wonderful cross. But I still look at it for another point. I still think it was poor for us that we've not been able to deal with the cross when you've got guys in there that were defending for a life to allow Morata just to kind of ghost in there and get a free header. But it was a wonderful cross and it was a good header. But right, two might be a little bit harsh on us, but I genuinely thought there was a point even just before McTominay's, I mean, I think we could maybe nick this, you know, because we're really frustrating them. They've not created any great opportunities to score. And I think at 1-0, I think Shea Adams has had a couple of good opportunities to equalise for us as well. They were our best chances of the game. So, particularly the first one, I felt if he had just got a little bit more on it, the keeper was already away, it probably would have just got it into the other corner. So it was Spain lion's share of possession, clearly the dominant team, but I think we were quite comfortable within it.
When the goal is disallowed, the old Scottish fatalistic attitude kicks in. You just know without any doubt that there goes your chance and they will score. Having missed chances, having been decent but not outstanding, you just know the minute the goal is disallowed, yeah, they'll go up the park and score, and they did.
What do you think, Gary?
I think I was a bit fatalistic myself, actually. It's like Hugh says, it's like that was the chance. But I would say, again, I'm not wanting to bring club football into this, but I feel as though that UEFA don't really want teams in Scotland can I compete with their big favourite nations. It's a wee bit, it's like the big team decision, and I suppose it's, I'm a Celtic fan, as you know, and I suppose some of the fans of your clubs feel as though we get the decisions week in, week out. So I suppose you can maybe see where they're coming from. But yeah, I feel as though UEFA, I think Scotland are their favourite kind of country, and that goes for club and national.
I think you have to be careful with that though, because the implications of bias there and corruption and what have you. I think the referee was overawed, had a very bad night, and also into the bargain was overawed. I don't know whether he took a look at Rodri and other famous Spanish players and thought, oh wow, I wonder if I can get his shirt at the end of the game.
Doesn't sound ideal.
No, of course not. But he's had a rank bad night.
Thank you to Gary, 01419511025, if you would like to join in. And please do. You can send your tweets to us as well at Clyde SSB if you'd rather communicate that way. And whilst you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. We've ended the week with no winner, I'm afraid. Today's caller picked up the phone within five rings, but just like yesterday, they answered by saying hello, which means no one takes home £110,000. You would just answer every call for the rest of your life with Make Me a Winner, wouldn't you? Just to be sure. However, we're upping the ante, moving on to Monday, £112,000 if you fancy it, and who wouldn't? Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at Clyde1.com, and online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and if you've entered since David won on Wednesday, don't worry, you don't need to re-enter. Your entry would still be valid. But all the rules for this network competition are online, and if you get the call from us after 3pm on Monday the 16th of October, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away, and the £112,000 could be yours. So text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here, and they're about to be joined on the line by Alan. How are you, Alan?
How are you doing?
I'm good, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
good man. What's your point tonight?
Well, my point is, I don't know what all the hullabaloo is about the Scotland goal being disallowed. It's a clear, obvious foul in the goalkeeper. Jack Hendon knew exactly what he was doing when the ball was whipped in. He took one step to the right, he put his arm across the goalkeeper, and the goal, it struck to the goalkeeper, the ball went in the net, and it's quite right, it's dropped offside, a chop for a goal, sorry, a foul on the goalkeeper.
But that's what I'm saying, it was now offside, remember, so it's not a foul on the goalkeeper.
Well, you can't have a double jeopardy. So, to me, when his free kick was taken, he put his right leg towards the goalkeeper. Right, so is that not offside? Because you can score with his foot.
No, that's what I'm saying. But this, remember, this is what we kind of said at the start. See if it's just offside, and you kind of have to trust the technology. That's fine. I think most people are just curious about the process. I think, you know, why it was said it was one and then it was the other, and was there the right signal? If there's a simple explanation to that stuff, I think people just want to hear it. That's all right, isn't it?
Well, I've not been privy to the conversation. I just came in from work tonight. I didn't see the game last night because it was at a meeting. I came in and I seen the replay on the TV tonight. As soon as the ball went in and I seen Jack Henry moving towards the goalkeeper, my first instinct at the time was, yes, it's a foul on the goalkeeper. Well, there's an obstruction on the goalkeeper. But if he moves his right foot, then I don't know. I've never heard the conversation from the programme. Only just tuned in the last 10 minutes. But if VAR's coming back and saying it's offside, then yes, it is debatable.
No, actually, I think it's the other way. Is it not the other way around? Because I'm fine, generally. If that's offside, it's offside. Alan's got his opinion. We can have our... I think if that is a foul on the goalkeeper, I think football's in real, real bother about what's appropriate contact and what isn't. But if it's offside, fine.
Well, you know, it's a matter of personal interpretation on Alan's part, and this programme is all about personal interpretation, so he's perfectly entitled to hold that particular view. As you say, it's the process that's disturbing, and you know, two different explanations for one decision.
And Kenny, again, it's not even some of the accusations from some people will obviously be strong, but see if there's a simple explanation for it all. Fine, let's hear it. Like someone's just sent me a link saying, "Oh, there's now like another angle appeared, and maybe he did signal for offside." Okay.
Shows it then.
Just explain
just
it.
Shows it.
Just yep. Explain it.
Just shows it. I think when you've got VAR now, it is under so much scrutiny that they need to get these big calls right. So see if it is right and there's just been a little bit of a miss, then just show it. Just clear everything up so we're not actually debating about it. Because I kind of half agree with Alan. I say to you, I was the exact same when I seen Jack Henry there. Had he been offside, I'm thinking this goal's going to get ruled out because he is impeding the goalkeeper. Again, I'm going to say it. The goalkeeper's not trying to get to the ball, though, but he is in a position that would have stopped him had he tried to get to the ball.
That's another bugbear, Kenny. Every time they're sent to the monitor, the goal's chopped off. You know, Stevie Clark said it last night. As soon as he saw him go to the monitor, he knew he would chalk it off. You know, and we could not rely on last night's referee to be a man of steel.
See, to be honest, though, right, I don't think that has to be always displayed as a negative thing, because ultimately the people in the VAR room should be more informed.
Yeah, they can see it
slow motion in different angles. So I think it's natural that going to the monitor is going to lead to a change in decision.
What interests me now, the SFA have asked or are in the process of asking for clarification over what happened there. It'd be very interesting to see how UEFA explain themselves here. to see if there is room to say, well, that's not satisfactory, really.
I think a transcript or an audio of the conversation is so simple.
Yeah.
Because it would totally click. Because as Alan says, look, if he's offside and he's in front of the goalkeeper, I know for some people there's still a debate about is he interfering, but I think most people would at least come closer to getting that right. Fine, he's offside. It's just about how did you arrive at that decision? When did you arrive at that decision? And surely a transcript of the conversation clears that up quick as you like.
And the SFA are entitled and I think obliged to make their reply from UEFA public, so that everyone, Alan included, who believes it was a foul on the goalkeeper, let everyone be told why UEFA arrived at this decision and why they instructed the referee to arrive at this decision.
I think that's fair, Alan, because you're right. Look, this is, if the rules have been followed, then so be it, and you can't go writing for every decision that you don't agree with and so on. But is it fair to just try and understand what happened in terms of the process?
Well, VAR's a joke for a start. I mean, everybody was, yep, right, let's go for VAR in Scottish football. But since it's came in, there's been so many contentious decisions. It's been unbelievable. And I'll go back to the Dessers incident at Ibrox for VAR to call that back and say it's a free kick because he's put his foot in front of Lagabielka. A lot of nonsense.
Aye, good. That's just what we need. Is another debate about that.
Right, I think you're bang on as well.
We've only spent the last 6 weeks arguing about it. But again, this is what we do, Hugh. Right? Yeah. Because this is not about a subjective issue as to whether Dessers was or wasn't fouled. It's also not about all these terrible decisions in Scottish football. This is about what football globally asked for. Yeah. Somebody, after years of pressure or whatever, thought this level of intervention was good, and up until this point decided also that you're not really allowed for transparency when it comes to the process. See if a decision goes for or against your team. That bit is actually tough. That's the bit you need to suck up, but the process needs to be right.
It's funny, your mind goes back to programmes here where people said we need to get VAR in because that will clear up all of these mistakes. When you think about it now, there was an innocent belief that VAR overnight would eradicate mistakes and everything would be fine. In actual fact, it has made everything worse. And, you know, it's not exclusive to Scotland. As I say, the biggest mistake of the season happened in London when Spurs were playing Liverpool. But I think the SFA, when they get this explanation, let the whole country know what UEFA said to them by way of clarification, because I'd love to read it.
Just think, and I'm possibly getting to broken record stage, I acknowledge that, Kenny, but we sometimes need, this is not like Dessers. This is not about whether you thought something was a foul or it wasn't. It goes a bit beyond that. That's all people are asking
it's,
for.
It's because they've messed up, you know.
Like the Liverpool one, this is about what happened there, not why have you made the decision that I don't like. It's about what happened there.
I'll tell you why sometimes, like, it doesn't help, because I'm always sometimes that little bit cynical. It's like a lot of the callers are sometimes the offside lines and all these things. See, when the referees get together now they get their story straight. Now they've got 3-4 days to come out and now come out with this incredible explanation. I'll tell you why, right? Because I played a game one day and a player got sent off with my team, and I made a point of asking the referee why was he sent off, because it was dodgy, and he gave me an answer, and then we found out on the report it was a different answer, and that was the thing. Because they go away and they look at, you know what, because I can't actually remember the exact details. But what it was is, it was, you've got a chance to go back and look at it. This was pre-VAR, obviously. You've got a chance to go back and look at it, and then you came up with, well, that's why it was. And it's not the answer I was given on the field of play. So when you get these, the chance to go away and look at it, and everybody gets together, then you come back with a story that sounds, yep, it was a wee mistake, it was an honest mistake, and that's fine. But ultimately, it's probably been the right call. That's the thing on this one. Offside's offside, again, even though I think in Scotland particularly we do question it. But it's, listen, I think you just move on for it. You know, and Steve Clark's right. Mm. It's not going to cost us. We just need to move on.
Do you remember when we used to have the SFA whistleblower site where referees would, on a Monday, come on and explain themselves? And they had to discontinue because it was becoming more and more obvious that the games weren't being handled properly. So Liverpool, when they asked for the audio after the Spurs game, were able to show that this was a clear-cut case of incompetence.
That was a good thing, though. It was good that that happened.
Yeah, but we're taking the game into a very dangerous territory. There will not be games replayed because...
No, that's exactly... That's nonsense.
We're replaying every league every weekend.
Matthew's questioning whether an audio transcript or a transcript will help because they were speaking Dutch. Matthew, I like to think UEFA could hook us up with a good translator with all their money that we all contribute to. So anyway, let's bring in this already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It feels like a real episode of Clyde One Super Scoreboard now that we managed to make that about a Rangers Celtic thing there, didn't we? Yeah. It took a good 45 minutes, but we got there in the end. It's cut to the real heart of the issue.
I'm just waiting for James Tavernier and penalties to come up now.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's 0141 951 1025, and you have until 7 to get your calls in.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. They're waiting for you to get in touch, so keep them coming. There has been lots said about a disallowed Scott McTominay goal last night. Is there anything else to say on it? Maybe if you feel that is the case, keep the calls coming. Maybe we could turn attention a bit more to, you know, the sort of performance, some of the talking points, some of the mistakes made, some of the near misses at the other end, whatever you took away from the actual game. We could move on to that by all means. And maybe you Rangers fans, if you don't want to do international football, did you think we would get to the end of the first week of the break without a manager? Are you all feeling pretty calm about it? Do you expect it over the weekend? When is too long? All your thoughts on that, please get them into us, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Last night, we have to talk about Mark Wilson.
Oh.
Not only did he lose, he got a zero last night.
I was tuned in.
I know. I noticed your reference earlier. Don't you worry. I didn't go unnoticed. What is the nickname of the Spain national team? And he said
the Spaniards.
The Spaniards.
Helped by his partner in crime, I think.
Well,
that was
that's
aided
the thing.
By it,
yeah. They're a bad combination, because once Mark starts getting them wrong, DL rubs it in, and he got a zero. So pressure's off you two. Can't get worse than that.
Look, not only have I never had a zero.
What's in your box?
Kevin Little in here. Thank you very much. Kevin sent me this. These are my answers on the night when I got a perfect 10.
That's one. Let me hold that up purely because I think it's easier for the camera, right? I think there's a method to my madness, hopefully, and it should follow my voice, so to speak. And I don't know if we can zoom in on it a bit. So remember, Hugh Keevans did the unthinkable. He got 10 out of 10 on Beat the Pundit. What is the gentleman's name?
Kevin Little.
Kevin Little has turned Hugh Keevan's correct answers into a mug, and he's got it all positioned so that the letters in the middle line up to say perfect 10. That's great, that.
Because I looked at it.
What a collector's item.
Dessers was my last answer. I know it was. I remember it. But I didn't understand the concept here that you put them. All 10 answers are there.
Brilliant.
It's the old Morecambe and Wise joke. They're playing all the right notes, not necessarily in the right order.
Matthew is in Irvine. How's it going, Matthew? Can you hear me, Matthew, all right? Oh, signal issues in Irvine. Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's never good, because I can't have that level of uncertainty.
Absolutely not.
Got to be a
don't
joke.
Any more controversy after last night.
No, we don't, certainly. Matthew will be writing to me for clarification on the rules. But we'll try and get Matthew's line cleared up, and we'll need to toss the coin. I've downgraded from a 50p to a 20 this season. Cost of living crisis. Matthew, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, got you loud and clear. Right. What about this mug next to me?
You better have a mug.
Exactly, right. Who would you rather face if you had the choice?
Neither, probably. But
That's not going to work out. Heads, it's...
Shinsuke.
Heads, it's Shinsuke. And tails, it is Kenny Miller. And it's Shinsuke, the mugman, up against Matthew in Irvine. So what we'll do is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, and we'll get the clock up and running for you, Matthew. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, please do, okay?
Nice.
Right, top man, your time starts now. Who replaced Andy Robertson last night? Lewis Palma joined Celtic from a club in which country? Who is the only player in the Scotland squad from Bournemouth? Which former Rangers player started in defence for Sweden last night?
Alanda.
Who's currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Middle.
Who left Celtic for Southampton in July 2013? Okay. Let's bring him back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Good. Same set of questions to you. Your time starts now. Who replaced Andy Robertson last night?
Patterson.
Luis Palma joined Celtic from a club in which country?
Greece.
Who's the only player in the Scotland squad from Bournemouth?
Liam Cooper.
Which former Rangers player started in defence for Sweden last night?
Philippe Hallander.
Who's currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
St Mirren.
Who left Celtic for Southampton in July 2013?
Pass.
How many league games have Rangers lost so far?
Three.
In what decade did Spain last lose a Euro qualifier at home?
The 60s.
We're good, happy, quite something. Matthew, how do you think that went?
Oh, you done me.
Not so sure. I'm a bit worried. I think we've got VAR on one of these. Okay. And that's the last thing I needed. Who replaced
Greece?
Say that again.
I changed it to Greece.
Oh, Matthew. Sometimes the best thing to do is stay silent. I meant to say I said Greece all along. Changing it is no use to me. Right, we'll get to that. Andy Robertson was replaced by Nathan Patterson. So Hugh does go one in front. Luis Palma joined Celtic from a club in which country? Hugh said Greece. Matthew thinks just outed himself as having said something first and then changed it to Greece, which we can't have, I'm afraid. So it's an equaliser for Hugh.
No.
Sorry, 2-0 to Hugh. However, Ryan Christie plays for Bournemouth, not Liam Cooper. He's Leeds.
Oh.
Yeah, so one back for Matthew. Philippe Hallander is correct. Started for Sweden last night. Rangers fans, Kenny, are saying, oh, what's happened to this guy?
Yep. What's happened to this guy? He's not been fit for 2 years and he's making appearances for Sweden.
Played alongside
Laga Bielka,
who scored, incidentally. And I've talked so much that I've forgotten the score. Are we level? No? Oh,
no.
One back. One in it.
Did Matthew get Hallander?
Matthew got that as well. Yeah, so it's 3-2. Third in the Premiership, St Mirren, you both got that. Who left Celtic for Southampton in July 2013? It was Wanyama. Matthew gets it and equalises. Forster was after that. Van Dijk after that. And then Armstrong after that still. How many league games have Rangers lost so far? It is 3, which means Hugh Keevans pips it. Matthew, I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt on Greece. I was just going to pretend I couldn't hear you. What did you say first?
I said Honduras, then said Greece.
Oh. Listen, I need to accept your first answer. I know. And incidentally, Spain last lost a Euro qualifier in the noughties, 2003. Against Greece.
You see, last night you kept saying 125 games and only 5 defeats. And I thought,
I know.
Back in the day.
There we go. Thank you, Matthew. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Good
man. I see that. It's a tough school, this. I think that's harsh on Matthew. And I genuinely couldn't really hear it. So I was just going to give him the benefit of the doubt until he admitted himself that he changed it.
You know the drill.
I know, but I genuinely couldn't hear it. I knew something went on.
So you're trying to say you might have been a wee bit of controversy and maybe cheated to
I gave the wrong refereeing signal, apparently. The under-21s are playing tonight at Fir Park. They are playing Hungary. A few interesting, well, they're all interesting names to watch out for, but obviously every time Ben Doak plays at the moment, because people are saying, well, what's next? Is there a senior call-up coming? Max Johnson's back on familiar territory in there as well. Leon King, I think, plays. Liam Morrison captains the side, so
you know we're in the midst of a fantastic time under Stevie Clark. But even John McGinn, Super John McGinn, is 29 next week, and we're looking for those who are coming after the current crop. And clearly, Ben Doak is the number one superstar in the making. So we're looking for Scott Gemmell to come up with some others.
01419511025. If anything happens in that game, I'll tell you about it. Anything that you need to know, do get your calls or your tweets in. If you want to change the topic away from international football, you can do, but you need to pick up that phone. 01419511025. Scott is on the line. How's it going, Scott?
All right, guys, yours?
Good. What did you take away from last night? Let's move it away from this refereeing stuff for a bit.
Well, I'm not really a big Scotland fan. Back in the like, 70s and 80s, I used to see all the games at Hampden. Used to go and watch the home internationals back in the day. And I sort of drifted away from international football, more into club football. But I thought last night watching it, some of the younger players, guys like Ryan Portis, who McCall's really about, and Aaron Hickey, show that we can produce really good players. Not obviously, I'm not counting Lewis Ferguson, he wasn't on the pitch. But it shows we can produce players that can play at a higher level. We just need to give them a chance, and that's something that my club just isn't doing just now. Is it all right to go into my point? Because it really sort of leads into that.
Absolutely. Okay. Which club? Because I think there's a few that probably aren't doing it.
Celtic.
Right, go on then.
We lost Ben Doak to Liverpool because basically the boy was 16 year old. He looks as if he's one of these players, or one of a million type players come through. All the goods can do. Turn players can play at a high level. He's already doing down in Liverpool. He's managed to break into the game. My concern is the amount of young talent that Celtic's losing, and also the other clubs are losing down south, and neither Celtic or Rangers are moving for them. My real point was about Ryan Portis. Ryan Portis went to Watford for £450,000, I think his fee was. We bought Lagerbielka, who I think will be a good player, but he's still quite young. We all bought Lagerbielka for five times that. Five times that? I've never even heard of the boy before. Not to say he's not going to be a good player. But why did Celtic not move for the guy at £450,000?
At the time, Ryan Portis was having problems on and off the park, and maybe, and I'm speculating here, but maybe there were doubts about his temperament. I'll put it that way. He has
undoubtedly been proved to be wrong now, though.
But
I think he had even kind of disproved that a little bit because he was still playing for Scotland when he was in the Hibs jersey. If that was when he made that game against Ukraine, I think it was. So he showed a real maturity that night.
The other point we made, you know, about the Ben Doaks of this world, they regard Liverpool as being bigger than Celtic. And that's, you know, Celtic have lost players to Bayern Munich and to Liverpool. Now, it's just a fact of life that young men regard these moves as being what they want to do. You know, I realise, Scott, that as a Celtic fan, you think, how can they possibly leave Celtic? That's not how they think.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on that, you know, the kind of when players move on and why and what clubs can do. What is it about Ryan Portis that makes you think our bigger clubs should have taken a look, Scott?
Well, what's his performance last night? Did he look out of place there? As against one of the best teams in Europe, did he look out of place in the way, didn't he? And I the same goes for Aaron Hickey as well. Aaron Hickey's another player that was at Celtic when went to Hart. And sort of was the other way about. I think it went to Hearts at youth level, and then Celtic, then went back to Hearts. Even at 17-year-old, 18-year-old, when you see them playing the cup final against Celtic, the guy didn't look out of place. I just think that, well, you're not spending £3-4 million in players from abroad of the same age when the guys are right on our doorstep, and we can pay a lot less for it. I mean, Aaron Hickey went out, went to Bologna, done himself justice over there, and then earned another big move. Surely the people that are in charge at the clubs, and I'm not just talking Celtic, obviously Rangers as well, we should be trying to look at the local talent, because if you look at Celtic's squad just now, we've got three guys in our European squad, but we'll kick them off for us this season.
Yeah, Kenny DeWitt, as someone who started at, you know, out with Celtic or Rangers and made their way there from Scotland, is it a snobbery, or because you look at, you genuinely couldn't afford Lewis Ferguson now, probably, or wouldn't spend it.
Yep.
You couldn't afford Aaron Hickey now.
Yep.
I don't think there's any doubt about those.
I think Scott's right. I think both Rangers and Celtic have got away for a source of players that have served them so well over a number of years. Rangers and Celtic have always went to the Hibs, to the Hearts, to the Aberdeens, the Dundee Uniteds, and took their best player. And it's not taking best player for everybody. Yeah, you'll highlight what you're looking for, and actually then go and take them for the best teams in our league. Rangers and Celtic have got away for that. I agree with him on Portis. I think he would have been a good signing for either one of the old firm. And you look at what Rangers recruitment has been this summer. Mm. I think there's probably at least a couple of players in our league that Rangers could have went for, like Scott says, for lesser fees, a lot less wages, and probably would have came and done a better job. So
Lewis Ferguson is the intriguing one. You know, his uncle Barry played for Rangers, and his dad
Derek played for Rangers, and they've somehow let him slip through the net. And what a career he is making for himself in Italy.
Well, it was going to be the next big one to get a move. I mean, Aaron Hickey's went, what was it, 18 million from Bologna into Brentford. He's getting linked with Arsenal, with Liverpool, with I think Man United also. He's been linked with over the last few months. Lewis Ferguson's going to get a big move as well, because he's playing outstanding there. He's scoring goals like he did for Aberdeen. So he's going to be the next one to move.
Let's bring it back a little bit just to the player or the players that have sparked Scott's point. How much of a... how quickly has this happened? And I don't know if people realise just how much of a stalwart Ryan Porteous has become. Because I know there are a few options in there, but he came in and played that game against Ukraine, as you mentioned, which was in September last year, and he started every single competitive match since. This, you know, Scott McKenna, who obviously, you know, has come in, plays in the English Premier League. You've got Liam Cooper, who has been in English Premier League and down in the Championship now. You know, he's the captain, Leeds. Ryan Porteous is now the first choice, or certainly one of two first choice centre backs.
Yeah, Scott's made the right choice of player there to highlight, because there are many layers to this argument, and you pointed this out, Gordon, that there's a kind of a need to go exotic. You know, the number of Asian players we've got here now. Even Aberdeen, when they were...
Which isn't necessarily wrong either.
No, but there is an inclination, I think Scott feels this, there's an inclination towards the would-be exotic players and a disinclination to look at the guy who plays 50 miles away. And maybe Scott's absolutely right that people should be paying greater attention. I mean, St Mirren, for example, Lennon Miller at Motherwell, I mean, there's one. An actual one. Before long, he'll be off somewhere when he should be kept in Scotland, if possible. St Mirren have talent there, the Ryan Strains and Mark O'Hara's and so on and so forth, who could do a job at Celtic or Rangers level. But perhaps we'll just get into this obsession now with foreign players.
Has Ryan Porteous impressed you, Kenny?
He impressed me for the minute he came in. You know, what he got is he started playing at Hibs quite a young age. Got himself involved in way too many situations on the field, and I just think his behaviours weren't right, you know, and that's maybe something that went against him. But in footballing terms, he's fast, he's aggressive, because he's not the biggest, but he's really aggressive. He can play, he can pass. Like, for a modern day centre back, and you want to play a certain way, you need to be able to pass. He can see the passes, he can execute the passes, he's got all the tools, you know. So it's no surprise to see him. And it's like when he's got into that national team for that game, he was probably in the midst of a lot of carry on being at Hibs and some kind of behaviours on the field that were just wrong. But he stepped into that game and he showed a real maturity in his performance. And like you say, he's played every Scotland game since. He's been a stalwart in that defence through this campaign, which has been incredible, how successful it's been over this last few months. And he's been at the heart of it. So he's a really good example of a player just slipping through the net. And again, he's not even went to the big clubs or the big league. He's went to the Championship, you know. So there's no doubt he's got the capabilities to then move on.
Thank you, Scott. What do you make of what you're hearing so far? 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Kenny Miller are here. I've just tried to get changed during the break and look at the state of that jumper. It's bad that we're on the live stream. I'm all over the place here, so Hugh Evans. Oh, it's a nightmare, honestly.
By the way, because that shirt was a wee bit crumple.
Oh, you would deliberately leave a crease shirt if you've got a jumper on top. Come on, let's not be silly about this. John and Larbert has sent the question in tonight, so let's get it ready for these two.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride.
Thank you to John. Apparently this has got a bit of a Friday the 13th / Ryan Porteous theme.
What can go wrong?
Exactly, what does go wrong? Own goals go wrong. Ryan Porteous involved in what? Did the final touch come off him last night? Yeah, did that go down as an own goal? I just didn't even bother to check in the aftermath of all the madness. Can you name the last 6 players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game? Can you name the last six players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game? Quite simple. And don't forget, just like John did tonight, send your questions over to fulltime@clyde1.com. What are we going for?
Did Nir Beaton do it?
He didn't actually, no, he did not.
Charlie Mulgrew?
No, Charlie.
This is a thinker though, Hugh. We're going to have to really dig into this one. This is not just obvious answers, right?
No, I think the last three, the sort of first three are recent. They're recent players, so they've been kind of good place to start. The three after
McGregor.
That, you're going way back. Yes, yep, Callum McGregor
for the corner
at Ibrox, January 2021. Our colleague Stephen Mill got that just at the exact same time as you did.
I just beat him, pipped him.
He was typing. No, I could see it. He should have just went for the initials.
How far back are we going for the
other? Should I really tell you right now?
Nah, it's too early for clues, isn't it?
They're all this century. Right, I'll give you that much.
Yep.
Okay, the last six are all this century.
Who is it? Mistorovic?
No, actually. Nope. What about the more recent ones? So you've not got, believe it or not, Callum McGregor is third most recent. Two after that, yeah. Okay.
We'll get there.
The under 21s are.
Who's in it? I've seen that, yeah.
2-0 up against Hungary inside the opening 6-7 minutes. Well, the Kieran Bowie has got two already. That's a nice start, that.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day long. Well done, because it's always a debate at that level, Kenny. But you know, how much is it about results? How much are you trying to prepare guys? Because ultimately, there'll be some like Aaron Hickey, like Andy Robertson, certainly like Kieran Tierney, Billy Gilmore. They don't play that many 21s games. They can almost skip it. But then that's not for everyone. Some people, I'm pretty sure John McGinn probably put in quite a few hard yards for the 21s. Did you play many?
I think I got maybe 9 or 10, yeah.
Right, that's still a decent number, isn't it? But it's where's the balance between trying to kind of get results and just really prepare players for football? What's your own take on that?
Listen, I think you need to, again, also that's part of the club's job, isn't it? I'd like to get them prepared and develop them for first team football. I still think For the national team, the under-21s, you're still wanting to try and make major finals, you're still wanting to have a level of success. I mean, going away for these 2 or 3 days, I mean, what is it really going to prepare them for in terms of moving them forward? I think the clubs will play more of a role in that. But it's the natural stepping stone to actually, if you're performing for the under-21s and you're the best player in the under-21s, so for instance, like a Ben Doak's maybe going to be, the natural next step's going to be getting into the first team squad.
Yeah, let's hear a bit more from the Scotland camp after last night. Let's hear more from the manager, Stevie Clark.
Maybe the result on Sunday night goes in our favour and we can qualify from that. But we don't qualify because of that result. We qualify because of the work we've done to have 15 points from 6 games. That's why we'll qualify if the result goes our way at the weekend. If it doesn't go our way and Norway win, then we have a very realistic chance of the 2 games in November to win the section. And that's what we'll focus on.
Will it happen Sunday?
Yeah, I think that Spain are good enough to get a draw.
Hugh said that it will happen on Sunday. Norway
that's
will
worry,
not beat Spain.
Yeah.
In Norway, he said that.
Yes.
Your own take, putting Hugh Keevan's dodgy prediction history aside?
I'm not as confident as you. I mean, I think Spain will go on as overwhelming favourites, but I just, that's twice we've watched Spain against Scotland now, and I've not been impressed. I think, they play some really, really good football. Yes, they've got some good players. I thought Scotland were pretty comfortable in their shape and defending it last night. They were definitely at Hampden. Maybe they've got that switch that we've seen against the Georgia game where they went and put 7 past Georgia. So, listen, I think it's going to be a big ask for Norway to beat them, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, because they want to not only qualify but win the group as well. Yeah. Spain.
It's clearly at the back of Stevie Clark's mind as well that we want to win the group. He wants to have that distinction against his name, the names of his players. We were in a group with Spain and Erling Haaland, and we won the group. That's what he wants to say.
Well, that's where you get fussy, Kenny, because we've all, you know, last night everyone saying, oh, what's this like? We're now going to need to support Spain on Sunday. But only up to a point. Actually, the best result for Scotland is a draw. A draw there, Scotland qualify, and it dents Spain's hopes of finishing top spot. So that's the ideal scenario.
It's the dream scenario for us, that Norway get a draw and it puts us back in the driving seat with it in our own hands. If we can go and take care of the last two games against Georgia and Norway, then we could finish top of the group. So that's what we're hoping for.
You've been there in terms of in the Scotland camp. Would it take anything away whatsoever if you're having to just watch it happening in a hotel?
Nah, not fine. Listen, the work's been put in. You know, it's been put in. Like, to go there, like you says earlier, to go to Spain and have done it, like, I mean, what a size of a task to actually go and do it. Had that been the last game and we needed to go do it, you know, it would have been an incredible result then. The hard work's been done. Mm-hmm. 15 points out of 15, then you go and lose in Spain. That's no problem. The hard work's done. No, so I don't think it'll take anything. It'll be another second Euros, consecutive Euros qualified for Steve and his team. So it will not. I don't think it would take anything away. If it, listen, would have loved to have done it last night with a massive result away in Spain. Who was it? 5 games and 125 that they've lost. It would have been a massive result and they would have been still celebrating now. But Sunday night, if it happens, then they'll still be celebrating.
Scotland teams of old would have kicked the backside right out of it in the hotel that night then, Hugh. I don't know if that's still the done thing. Small matter of France in a friendly on Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah, exactly, but they're an entirely different breed of footballer now. The guys that I came up the road with, wow, the party would have been quite something.
It's always interesting when we can kind of marry international news up with the club stuff here. A first Australia start for Ryan Strain of St Mirren tonight against England. Not a bad game to make your full debut in, is it? So we wish them well from a Premiership perspective.
Listen, and he deserves it as well. What a performer he's been since he's landed on our shores at St Mirren. Again, like I said, I knew him if he'd been across there, and he was really, really strong, probably one of the best right backs, if not the best right back in the league. So he's done great, deserves his call up. We wish him all the best.
And you remember this from the World Cup. So he plays Kai Rowles, Keanu Backus, and Martin Boyle, all start, all play in the Premiership. Harry Souter, who used to, and the brother of John, and Jackson Irvine, who used to as well, all playing for Australia against England tonight. So I don't think we'll have the chance to keep that one.
Get Scott back on.
Who?
The earlier caller who was going about local talent overlooking Jackson Irvine was at Celtic and let him go.
Yeah, I don't know if that's one they would regret too much. No offence to Jackson, who's gone on to have a very good career, but you know, Celtic have done all right in that area in the years that have passed. Let's bring in Tom. How's it going, Tom?
Hi, good evening, Craig. And panel.
I've been called Craig, many things.
Craig,
that's
Gordon.
A new one.
Craig Gordon.
Honestly. I've just got to change my name. It's something really simple.
My two favourite pundits as well, in huge respect for, is Hugh and Kenny.
Thank you.
I was the chap that phoned in from Lanzarote quite a few weeks ago.
How was the holiday? Was it good?
It was brilliant. It was about 30 degrees and come back to this.
Nightmare. What's on your mind about the football last night?
Well, a couple of, as I said to the producer, two things. A couple of things about Scotland. Then I was speaking about Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'd like to speak to Kenny about the Rangers thing. And Hugh, the Scotland thing, I think, I know you guys have covered it. Love the show. Even listening to Lanzarote, hence the reason I phoned in from Lanzarote. But the standard of refereeing, I mean, last night I thought was absolutely diabolical. I mean, the challenge on John McGinn for not even be a foul, you know, never mind a yellow card, you know, that was one. And to me, the goal was to be, okay, you have discussed that at great level. But when I looked at the referee that he looked as if, well, it was a goal. I mean, he asked. To me, he actually thought it was a goal until he obviously get word in his ear. You know, I don't know what you guys thought
about
that.
Hugh, it's interesting when you look overall, as Tom says there, like our referees make loads of mistakes. They should get called out on them. They should get criticised for them. We should always be trying to drive standards up. So there's nothing wrong with any of that. And just because other refs make mistakes doesn't mean it's okay.
No.
But having said all that, I, like lots of us, we're all football fans. I do watch a lot of international football, European football, and I never really see a big step up in level. I'm always kind of hoping to think, oh yeah, these refs are better, but they just don't ever seem to be. And if anything, I'll tell you what, if a Premiership referee put in that performance last night, we would be having a field day on it.
As in every walk of life, whether it's doing what we do for a living or being a referee, there are degrees of competency. And unfortunately for us last night, we got stuck with a guy who looked out of his depth. And Kenny and I are in agreement that he seemed to be overawed by the whole thing. And that's why the clarification will become very interesting now that the SFA have sent off their letter. Because UEFA can't mess about with this. We want clarification. The clue is in the word. We want clarity on what happened here. So I'll be very interested to hear, read, see what they get back from UEFA, because the man, as Tom on the line noticed, the man in the middle didn't seem to think there was anything wrong. And then all of a sudden we end up with two explanations for one disallowed goal.
Listen, we've talked about it for pretty much.
I think that's what about the general point, yeah, though, about the sort of, you know, because I feel like every time our club's playing Europe as well, I generally come away thinking that's rubbish.
Because it's just about referees making decisions. Yeah. It's just a human being making a decision, you know, whether it's the international level, Champions League levels. And like Hugh says, there will be referees who are better than others in relation to they can maybe handle the pressures and they can make more kind of decisions quickly, you know, but in general, what you're
communication
dealing with
and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And you think, we've heard some of the conversations off the back of that Liverpool Tottenham thing. Like, there's a lot of noise going on. There's a lot of pressure in terms of delivering a decision pretty quickly. You know, so I just think refereeing, there's always going to be mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, I'm a big fan of no having VAR. Because when the mistake's made, you can kind of, yes, you'll debate it, and yes, you'll be disappointed if it goes against you. But you know what? It's there. VAR was supposed to clear all bad decisions up.
The under 21s are 3-0 up. Oh. Ben Doak wins a penalty and converts it at Fir Park in front of the watching Steve Clark. Tom, we're a bit pushed for time, so what's your thoughts on this Rangers manager stuff?
Well, I'd like to ask both, especially Kenny as well, what has thought. Apparently Philippe Clement is the sort of favourite, and I think it's his style of football, a 4-4-2. But what I'd like to ask Kenny, if he thinks, I don't know much about the guy, I admit that, however, from Kenny, I'd like his views on him, and obviously Daniel Musket, I remember him from his Rangers days, but Kenny's thoughts as well, how does he look at the Rangers team today as an ex-Rangers player who, I remember him, always remember the time when we won the Scottish Cup, they were down to 9 men and Kenny scored the favourite goal against Admiral. They won the Scottish Cup.
That was a League Cup. Don't give them any more ammunition, Tom.
It's a cup final.
Tom, there is a lot in there, because I know that's rude, right, but we're like, in fact, I should be taking this break in 8 seconds, which is obviously not going to happen, so that's fine to an extent. Quickly, managerial.
Yeah, firstly,
I think
Clement does look like the favourite. It looks like the one that they want. Kevin Muscat's maybe a close second at this moment in time. Honestly, don't know much about them. Obviously, I played with Muzzy down at Wolves before he came up to Rangers.
What was he like?
He was a wonderful player. You know, really, really tough. It was great to have in your team, put it that way. Loved a tackle. Obviously, again, his incidents are well documented, how kind of certain tackles he had put in over the course of his career. But since then, he's went on to have a decent enough managerial career, firstly in Australia, now he took over for Ange at Yokohama, so he's had a bit of success. And Clement has won leagues. You know, he's won leagues. I think it's 4 league titles he's had. I think it was 2 different teams. So he's got success as well. He seems to be, like I said, he seems to be the front runner. What I would say on the squad at this moment, Tom, is that whoever comes in is going to have his hands full. You know, because he needs to find a way to get something out of the squad that at the moment we're not really seeing there.
Comfortable enough with the timing. Rangers have been clear they want to get this right. They don't want to rush it. Obviously, it's Friday. You don't need me to tell you that. Are we approaching, it needs to be the next couple of days? Or
I thought it would have been done for the Rangers players arriving back into Murray Park on Monday morning.
Right, which it still could be,
yeah. But it may not. I just think it needs to happen. It's only been 2 weeks, you know, so it's one of the things where, yep, it needs to be done in a timely fashion, but you don't want to rush it and make a rash decision.
These things are tough, Hugh, because where do you draw? You know, is Monday acceptable, but Tuesday is not? I don't know. Is there a line?
There's so much going on within that argument. You know, the fans initially say the club must take its time and make the right decision. When you get to the 2 week point, they say, "What's taking so long here?" Yeah. And at the same time, Rangers have made managerial choices that are easily exposed as mistakes, and the fans are looking and saying, "You better not make another one." So it's a real tense time for the chairman, John Bennett, for James Bisgrove, and apparently Graeme Souness is in on the process as well.
Thank you, Tom. Let's very quickly revisit this teaser. Now extremely late for the break. The last six players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game. You've given me Callum McGregor so far.
Yeah, Glenn Leuvens was the one.
Yes,
in that 3-1 game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Glenn Leuvens. Any of the more recent ones?
John Joe Kenny.
Yes. That's three down, three to get. We'll get them next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. Still time for you to get in touch. If you're keeping an eye on the Scotland under-21s, they're 3-0 up at home to Hungary. Ben Doak and a double from Kieran Bowie. So far, I tell a lie, Hungary have pulled one back, so it's 3-1. You're getting good money's worth at Fir Park. If you've gone along, four goals inside the opening, what would that be, 35 minutes or so? Good start to that game, it has to be said. What are you two thinking then on this teaser? John and Larbert sent it, so thank you to John. Thank you to the good folks at Sliding Wardrobe Solutions in East Kilbride for helping us as well. Can you name the last six players to score an own goal in an Old Firm game? You've given me John Joe Kenny, well remembered, Callum McGregor and Glenn Leuvens.
Well, Kenny gave you those, I don't remember any of them.
I think this is tough. I can just about remember.
Did we go far back, the Kloss?
Yes, Stefan Kloss. Talk me through that one, was that
can't
one of the
remember,
old...
I just remember he got one.
Take it
off
the post or something, or back out. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm going to throw random names at you.
Henrik Larsson's shot off the back of Klossy's head, apparently.
Is that?
There we go.
Senderos.
No.
Goldson.
No.
Boyata.
No.
Siminovic.
Right, hold on. Let's not name every central defender for the. Although.
Siminovic.
No.
But if you. Boyata.
No, the other one.
I was going to say, if you were to stay on that theme, you would eventually get there.
Chris Iyer.
No,
Stiachenko.
We're now getting there. You were closer. Who was, no, you're more recent.
Central defender.
He was never a, you were never a fan of his. Very recent.
Starfield.
Carl Starfield. Oh. At the semi-final one, was it, at Hampden? So you've only got one to get. There we go. We'll try and get it before the end of the game. Hugh, I will unintentionally miss someone out. It's, my apologies. So I mentioned, you know, Bacchus and Strain playing for Australia and various others. Liam Scales is starting for Ireland against Greece tonight. Again, just another step in his excellent start to the season.
For the Celtic fans, the story of the season so far, I honestly think he would be an Aberdeen player now were it not for the fact that the central defenders started to tumble. Carter Vickers, Navrotsky, Stephen Welsh, and Liam Scales came on at Pittodrie and hasn't looked back, and now he's on from the start for the Republic of Ireland in Dublin tonight. He has been terrific, and the expression used by Brendan Rodgers that Scales was the surprise of his coaching career, what a statement that is. And it suggests that unless he does something wrong, Liam Scales has got the jersey, even though Lager Bielka is playing for Sweden, even though Navrotsky cost over £4 million. Scales has got the Celtic jersey until he proves that he shouldn't have it.
Absolutely agree. He's been outstanding. And what he's done is, he's showed he's more reliable, he's been better, than a Lager Bielka when they've been paired together. He definitely gives you a balance on that left side as well. And what we've not seen is enough in Navrotsky yet, because he's got injured pretty quickly. So whether he's going to be good enough, whether he's going to be able to take that slot alongside Carter Vickers in the at the heart of Celtic's defence, is that, again, there's a lot of questions surrounding it at the moment. So Liam Scales, he's took his opportunity, he's grabbed it, and like you say, the shot's his.
Is there, I mean, you've been there, you represented your country and came back, you'll have seen teammates do it. Can it happen, like someone say, let's say Lager Bielka going away for his country, playing, scoring, can that be the thing that sometimes kickstarts club football?
Listen, it could, it absolutely could. I mean, it could give him, it's got to fill him, it's got to fill him fully confidence, going away with your country, getting a goal. For me, I just don't see it yet in terms of the Celtic jersey. He's not performed particularly well, and like I said, I think the fact that Liam Scales, who has performed very well, so it's not just the fact that his partner's not been up to it, he has performed very well, but he looks like the one definitely more capable of kind of playing at that centre-back position for Celtic.
We're almost there, Hugh Keevans, Kenny Miller, I suppose. I don't know, prediction time, by the time we certainly... we speak to you two next week.
Yeah.
Well, you, Hugh, it'll be a week from now. Rangers will have a manager by then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, unless something happens.
There would be...
by Monday? What do we think?
I think it should be done by then. Yeah. I think Muscat is in Japan and they had a game yesterday. So there are logistical reasons why that might take a while.
I'll tell you why I don't like the fact that Kevin Muscat is a Rangers man, the fact that he's no sat in a room. Because it's been done over Zoom. I just think you need to be looking at somebody face to face.
Don't say that.
And looking them in the eye.
Don't say that.
You need to.
Michael Beale said that.
No, that's players. Michael Beale. I'm saying it. You need to get a vibe of somebody. You can't over Zoom. For me, it's not. I don't think you can make a manager appointment over
Zoom. Maybe that's the delay, Kenny. Maybe they want them over from Asia so that they can speak to him and get a sense of what the man's like. But I would be astounded if there wasn't a new Rangers manager by the time they play Hibs a week tomorrow at Ibrox.
Some of the details are, you know, kind of few and far between. I think, you know, Rangers' suggestion is that they're happy with the way it's going, certainly, and no gripes about that at this moment in time. But we also, we don't know what these people are thinking. And, you know, rumours or reports of other offers, particularly for Philippe Clement. So we don't know what impact that would have.
No. I keep thinking that when we return, what a weekend it will be. Rangers will have Hibs at Ibrox, and the following day Celtic will go to Tynecastle. Now, there's potential there for everything, for a Rangers win and a Celtic defeat, or for a Rangers loss and a Celtic win. So you would want, and the Rangers fans would expect, to have the next Rangers manager in the dugout for that game. And I don't think that Rangers could possibly not deliver on that.
Until then, Saturday off. Hope you're spending it wisely.
Well, daughter has to go to airport with Wayne's to go to Lanzarote.
You can't drive. What's that got to do with you?
I know, but I get to carry bags.
Oh, that's even worse.
The bag carrier.
I've never heard of someone having to do the airport run as a passenger.
Yeah.
That sounds dreadful. You're going to Alan McGregor's testimonial dinner.
Straight there, right?
He's already
texting me saying, "Where are you?" He sent me a picture of my plate with my name on it saying, "That's poor for you."
What's the starter?
I don't know what it looked like, to be honest, but it was my main name tag on the plate.
You're in for a good feed.
He's no happier.
Well, listen, Alan, if you're listening, you'll be here in approximately, he drives very sensibly, I'll give it
20 minutes.
17 max.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess.
I think 17 minutes is accurate. Right, we've got one more on the teaser. The last six to score an Old Firm own goal. Starfelt, Kenny, McGregor, Leuven's, Kloss. It's the furthest back one you've not got, actually. So it is 2003. So actually we've just passed the 20 year anniversary. Not that I'm asking a lot of you. How old does that make you feel? How old does it make you feel? October 2003, it finished 1-0 Celtic at Ibrox.
2003.
And if it doesn't go to plan for Scotland on Sunday, we might need to go to this country and pick up something.
Norway.
No.
The other
been
one.
There.
Georgia.
K.
Kishinishvili.
Kishinishvili. Well done, wow. Kenny Miller. Enjoy your Clyde One Super Scoreboardless Saturday. I know it's just not the same, and I will miss you terribly, but we are back on Monday night, and you never know, by then Scotland's qualification for Euro 2024 might be confirmed, and Rangers might even have a new manager as well. So that is not to be missed from 6 o'clock. GBX is up next. Stay right there.